The lifestyle and the landscape of our region inspire art of many kinds. Poetry is what we'll focus on in this discussion. We'll visit with a couple of guests who write poetry. Pepper Trail and Tim Applegate plan to share their work at a public event next Monday, April 1st at 7 at the Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. They offered to join us in advance with some samples. Tim Applegate writes novels and poetry. He's completed 3 books of poems and 2 of a planned 4 books in the Yucatan Quartet. Tim Applegate joins us by phone. And Tim, thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
And Pepper Trail probably wins the award for the most exchange visits on different subjects. He's talked to us as a biologist about birds, about and sometimes as Charles Darwin, and now visits with his poetry. Pepper Trail, always good to have you here.
Great to be here in this role.
So how did you two end up on the same program? Have you ever worked together on writing projects or anything like that?
Go ahead,
Tim.
Thank you. No, we haven't done projects together. I became familiar with Pepper's poetry many years ago when I saw some of his work in a journal called Windfall, and I was immediately struck with the poems, just how strong they were. And then we happened to meet at a reading that Pepper gave in Portland recently, and we got to talk, and it just evolved from there that we decided to do a reading together.
So, Tim, writing is your main job now, but you've had some other interesting work. Tell us about your contracting business.
Well, for about 20 years, I was a commercial contractor. I owned a company that specialized in furniture and wood restoration for both the hotel and the cruise ship industries, which means, in a nutshell, me and the guys that worked for me on the big jobs, bigger jobs, would go into hotels or on cruise ships and do restoration work.
And how different is life with writing as the main thing you do since you retired from that job?
Well, it's been wonderful, to be honest with you. I actually published a novel 3 years ago. And when I signed the contract for that, I was able to retire a little bit earlier than I had planned and write full time. And it's been great. This is what I've always wanted to do, to be a full time writer, to be able to get up on Tuesday morning and realize that I don't have any other requirements that day except to sit down and try to write.
And how many hours a day do you spend at the keyboard?
I'm an early riser, so I'm usually at the keyboard by 7, and I'm generally done by noon. So I write 3 or 4 hours, and then, of course, I do a lot of revising. And since I've been working on fiction mostly, I have a full plate. So I always have something to write in the morning.
It seems like a lot of the full-time writers I talk to go for that sort of getting up at dawn or before kind of thing. Pepper Trail, tell us how long you've been writing and what your writing process is like.
Well, I'm still working, so I don't have the luxury of scheduling my day around my writing. But when I do, that sounds like a pretty good routine to me. Try to write early, but a lot of my writing is done actually outdoors. I do a lot of hiking, and I find the rhythm of walking and poetry work well together. So at least a lot of initial ideas and first drafts come to me when I'm out walking. I've been writing poetry about almost 20 years. I started out with mostly haiku and gradually edged my way into longer forms. So I'm still learning, that's for sure.
So you had an established career. I mean, this wasn't like the thing you've been doing while through your whole career.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, no, as you mentioned, I'm a biologist, so I have a full-time job working for the federal government as an expert on birds.
Which involves some writing itself, and I just wonder what kind of a release does poetry, for example, give you from some of the drier writing, complete with all the Latin names of your day job?
Yeah, that's certainly true. There was a great quote that I love as a scientist writer from Isaac Asimov, the famous science fiction writer and writer on many subjects. But he had begun to publish science fiction novels, and then he had to go and finish his PhD in biochemistry. He was a biochemist. And he said he had to learn how to write badly enough to write his PhD. He had to forget how to write well in order to write his PhD, and there's a lot of truth to that.
That is fun. Yeah, academic writing, I know, is very different from other kinds of writing. It's a very interesting point that he makes there. I'm going to ask each of our guests to read some of their work for us. And Pepper, do you want to grab one of the poems in front of you?
Sure. Some of the local folks may be familiar with my book, Cascade Siskiyou, which is a series of poems about our local Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, and they're all nature poems. I've recently put together a collection called An Empty Bowl, and it's much more varied because it's not set on a common theme, and quite a few of those poems concern either directly or indirectly issues around climate change, which is a big concern of mine. So I'll read the first poem from that collection, An Empty Bowl, which is called Syllabus for the Warming World. Teach me now the epistemology of melt, the inflexible rules of liquefaction, how broad white glaciers, bovine and calm, drop their slippery calves into the sea, how ice, crystalline and blue, can rot, pock, crack, fissure, flow, send secret rivers twisting beneath the pack, how unbound land may rise, fresh become brine, currents chase their tails, storms spin free, how the future, every minute, strays further off the track, while I awake each morning to the robin in the apple tree, singing his changeless song.
That is called Syllabus for the Warming World by Pepper Trail, one of our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange. He and Tim Applegate, who's also our guest, will be reading their poetry at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland on Monday, April 1st. That is April Fool's Day at 7. And you can join the conversation now on the Jefferson Exchange if you have some thoughts for our guests. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned hiking and poetry having some rhythms in common when you were getting into rock, crack, pock, fissure, and flow. Mm-hmm. I could definitely sense that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Tim Applegate, compare and contrast a bit. How different the disciplines of writing poetry and prose fiction?
Well, that's an interesting question. I do get asked after reading sometimes if I think that having a background as a poet helps or hinders me as a novelist. And I always say that it helps me a great deal. And one of the main reasons for that is I just consider it my duty to my readers to write very specifically, for instance, about places, which is something, of course, Pepper does wonderfully, too. So I think my background as a poet has helped me do that in my fiction, too. I try very hard to, at all times, for a reader to understand exactly where he or she is, whether that's a small fishing town in Florida or a commune in Oregon. So the disciplines are transferable, but I also find that I was never able to just sit down and force poems out. But in fiction, I do know where I'm going. Everything's outlined, so I have a little bit of a better idea where the poems or where the story's going. So in one sense, I don't think fiction is as spontaneous as poetry is, but on the other hand, I always kind of know where I'm going with it.
So, Tim, are there some complements between the two practices? I wonder if there are ideas for phrasing in a novel that strikes you perhaps as a better chunk around which to form a poem.
Absolutely. I worked for many, many years to develop a prose style with a lot of false starts and running into dead ends that sort of combines poetry and prose, that has rhythms to the speech. And a lot of writers have done that, obviously, but some of the ones that have influenced me a great deal in fiction that do that beautifully, their fiction just sounds like prose poems to me, are, for instance, John Cheever and Truman Capote. So I try to model my writing after that kind of writing that sort of conveys a poetic sense or combines a poetic sense with the structures of fiction.
Is there something you have at your hand that you'd like to read for the audience?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked me that question because I thought what I'll read right now is a prose poem, sort of in between prose and poetry. And since you did ask about my work, this is a prose poem called The Piano Player, which takes place in the dry dock on a ship. The Piano Player. On the final day of the Freeport dry dock, workers roll a grand piano onto the dais of the remodeled atrium, And that night, as I store our coatings, lacquers, sanding sealers, polyurethanes in a gang box, I hear the first faint notes of Pachelbel's Canon in D. Assuming that the piano player has arrived on board to fine-tune his instrument for the guest who will stream onto the ship tomorrow morning, I lock the gang box and step into the atrium, only to discover that the musician is Eric, a quiet, bearded carpenter known not for his musical talent, but for his ability to cut precise, beveled lengths of mahogany trim on a table saw. Jimmy unplugs his router. Frank spools his measuring tape. The rags of the cleaners pause in mid-swipe until Eric, with a modest flourish, brings the Canon to a close and rises from his bench, blinking in astonishment at our spontaneous applause.
That's called The Piano Player by Tim Applegate, one of our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange. Pepper Trail is also with us. They'll be sharing their poetry at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland on Monday, April 1st at 7. Tim, you sounded like you're about to say something else. I didn't stop you before the end, did I?
Oh, no.
Okay. It's interesting because I was conjecturing when we were coming into the segment about what things like wildlife biology and furnishings for ships and hotels have to do with poetry. And the answer is anything you want, really. And this is pretty clear from what you just read, Tim.
Right. Thank you.
So
I also do. I was interested when Pepper talked about poems coming to him when he hikes. I'm an avid hiker myself, and that also for me is my really my classroom. I get the best ideas for poetry when I hike. So it's a big world out there.
Pepper Trail, how far back does you mentioned Cascade Siskiyou, one of your collections? Was that more or less a response to the monument formation?
Yes. Well, I've been involved as a scientist, as an advisor on efforts to preserve the monument for over 20 years, and so out of my long time love for the place and my many trips into the monument and explorations and studies, I accumulated a lot of poems that I wrote on those hikes, and the idea came to me to really try to put it together as a collection. And each poem is actually identified with the specific place in the monument where that poem was written. And I was very surprised and honored that collection was a finalist for the Oregon Book Award in 2016.
Is that one of the poems from Cascade Siskiyou in front of you?
Actually, no. I didn't bring any of those since they're a little bit more familiar to folks.
Okay. Are you concerned? Let me just talk in general terms about the monument itself, though, because obviously President Obama, before he left office, proposed expanding the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. That was done. And then President Trump said, no, let's shrink it back down to where it was, if not a little further. And so I wonder what you have made about that and whether that has entered into your writing at all.
Well, as far as the news aspect, we're all just kind of waiting to hear. There was a recommendation that the monument be reduced, although the recommendation was not specific in terms of exactly what the boundaries would be. And since then, we've really not heard much. There are also a couple of lawsuits related to the monument expansion. But at the moment, there's really no news, and we're hoping that it will just go away and that the monument will remain as it is, because the expansion was very important for preserving the connections that the monument was created in recognition of between the Cascades and the Siskiyous. And without those expansion areas, that connectivity function will be much reduced.
Tim, your poetry, had there been series works like what we're talking about with Pepper, where he focused a lot of poems on this one area, the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument?
I'm sorry, what was the original question?
Collections of poems, have they tended to revolve around a large subject area like the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, as they did for Pepper?
Well, I have lived in a few different places, so I do write specifically, as I mentioned, about place. So I've written numerous poems about Oregon and about, but not a specific place as you're talking about with Pepper.
Mm-hmm. Are poems, since you do write prose and poems, do you find mm-hmm. poems to be a better vehicle for expressing emotion, perhaps?
I do. Yes, I do write some autobiographical poems, many actually autobiographical poems. And yes, it does allow me to become much more personal than I would even want to in fiction. Yes.
For both of you, I'll ask the question in turn. Pepper, starting with you, is there stuff that you've written that fought you to completion? Things where you felt like you were losing the wrestling match?
Yeah, for sure. My day job as a biologist, I work at the Fish and Wildlife Forensics Laboratory here in Ashland, and so I work with evidence and wildlife crime examinations, and it's often very sad, very grim, and to try to create art out of that sadness and sometimes horror is difficult, and I haven't succeeded very often, but that's a case where I've definitely wrestled with the material that I feel was important to express, but not easy to express.
Tim Applegate, for you, wrestling matches with your work?
Oh, absolutely, every day. As I think I mentioned, Fever Tree was actually the third full-length novel I wrote and the first one to be published. And I remember after getting a number of rejections of both poems and fiction one time, a quote of Stafford's who said one time, and I'm paraphrasing here, that if you want to write a good poem, you have to write a bunch of bad ones first. So that's always been true for me because I taught myself how to write. The one area where I do have extreme difficulty, and Pepper touched on it, is writing political poems. It's just, I think writing political poems is one of the most difficult types of poetry there is to write. And I tend to steer away from it just because it's just not something I'm that strong at.
All right. Well, certainly a lot of things to write political poems about in the world today, and lots of people doing
it. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So interesting work that we hear from both of you. We're talking about the poetry and fiction of Pepper Trail and Tim Applegate in a joint reading and appearance at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland on Monday, April 1st, 7 to 8 p.m. Pepper Trail has written An Empty Bowl and Cascade Siskiyou Poems. Those are two of his collections of poetry. Tim Applegate's novel Fever Tree and the recently released Flamingo Lane are two of the four expected in the Yucatan Quartet, so both of them cranking out the work over the years. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. Pepper Trail, good to see you in the studio.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
Tim Applegate, thanks for joining us by phone.
Thank you very much.